Good morning. It's time to begin our worship service this morning. We're going to be singing Songs to Remember, number 6. We're going to be doing, seems like the Lord just led me towards singing songs about heaven this morning. Amen. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. You know, and the thought came to me, we ought to be the happiest people alive singing songs about heaven. Because think about what we've got to look forward to over there. Now, if you're here and you're lost, you better get ready. Because where you're going to is not going to be very pleasant. And we were talking about that somewhat back there after Sunday school. Used to be we heard a lot about hell. You don't hear much about that anymore. When I was young, Miss Cheryl, the preachers preached hell so hot I didn't want to go there. And it's going to still be the same way. It hasn't changed any. I'm not criticizing our preachers. Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying let's get ready. And let's sing this morning and be happy as we can be about heaven. Turn to number 187. You're singing, smile. No, I'm serious. This is a happy song. Now just grab a hold of what the words are telling you. Now listen, some morning yonder, we'll cease to ponder. Down here, we ponder about everything. I used to say about my job. I don't ponder about that anymore. Uncle Sam's taking care of that. But my health, my friends, my families, we don't have to worry about that. Come on, some morning yonder, let's go. Amen. Number 193. Number 193.
Oh,
Amen. Thank you, Brother Randall.
Appreciate the good singing this morning. Appreciate Brother Randall leading that one song, verse of that song. That sounded good. It's good to see each and every one out this morning. I appreciate you coming out for our service today. When I think about the mansions on the hilltops and about the bells ringing in heaven, it's a wonderful thing. And as Brother Key said, we are to be smiling about that. I know it's hard to smile and sing. I do know it, realize that. But we are God's people. We've been saved, in other words. And we have plenty to smile about. And we ought to smile on a regular basis and smile when it's hard to smile. And I appreciate us being here today that we have the opportunity for people to see us smile about being saved. Back several years ago, I heard a man talking. We talked about heaven and the joys of it there. And the man, I heard a man do a song one time is, have you ever thought about what won't be there? And he named different things. No, just common things that we won't have to worry about. Pains, the sorrows. The last part of that chorus said we won't have to wonder no more. There's a lot of times, and I'm not sure as far as the spelling on that now, but there's a lot of times we wonder about the things that are going on. We wonder about our lives, wonder about health and such as that. We wonder about kids and school and such. And we even wonder about the things that we have going on around us. Well, you take the other side of that, wandering, I guess is a better way of saying it. While we're here on this earth, we go from place to place. We move here and then we go over here. Sometimes it's for a good move as far as jobs a lot of times. But we also wander around in sin. No, there's a lot of times when we don't even think about sin being around us hardly. We just kind of going about our own daily life and all of a sudden here's a sinful opportunity right here in front of you. And if we don't watch out, we'll wander off into the sinful ways. Well, I know it's two different words, but the thing about it is, when we get to heaven, we're not going to have to worry about that. We're not going to have to worry about the wanderings around and going from sin back to God and doing it again and then going back to God. We're not going to have to worry about that because we're going to be with God all the way. It's kind of hard to think about, right? It is. It's hard to think about because we live in it so much these days. But that's going to be one of our blessings. That's going to be one of our blessings. I need to hush. It's good to see each and every one out this morning, and I appreciate you being here. We're going to go on to Children's Church, and we'll turn it over to Brother Sam at this time. Come on, kids.
Testing, 1, 2. There we are. Thank you. Over here today. Over here. All right. Y'all are a good-looking bunch. Y'all ready for school to be out? Yeah. Can't wait for school to be out. Well, very good. I hope y'all have a fun summer. I want you to know my heart's a little bit sad this morning for two reasons, and those relate to the same thing. We lost Miss Charlsey this week. She left us. It was time in her life that God ordered that she pass on. And we're saddened because we enjoyed her company.
Yes.
We enjoyed being around her. We got a lot of benefit from her friendship and her joy and her smile. I don't know if I ever saw her where she wasn't smiling. So we enjoyed her company and we will miss her. The other one is for the family of that young man named Asher. Asher Sullivan. He was some of your age. Is anybody here 10 years old, thereabouts? Yeah, several of you. And we often wonder about that sometimes. We can look at Miss Charlsie and just don't disrespect to people that are elderly. I'm elderly. Don't laugh, okay? I consider myself elderly but I guess in your eyes you might expect that somebody elderly and sickly might pass on. We might understand that. But what comes harder to understand is somebody your age. We question why. I don't have the answers, but God knows. We're going to lay the groundwork right here. God knows. He's the keeper of our lives. And it's hard to understand, but just for a minute, I want to give you a scenario where maybe it'll help you understand. Say that Brother Ricky has a sum of money, and I'm a banker. And he brings it to me, and he says, hang on to this for a while, and I'll just do that. And I'm okay with that, okay? So he comes back in a year or two, and he wants his money. And I'm like, well, let's keep it here for a while. We've made some interest off of that, and we've loaned it out to other people, and they've enjoyed the use of it. And there's just so much of good that's being accommodated from that. And besides, I just like having it in here. But I say, well, that's fine, but the money isn't yours, okay? The money belongs to me, so therefore I need to withdraw it. You've enjoyed it for a while, you know. But, you know, ultimately here, it's mine and I'm in control. You know, that's what the bank, the depositor would say. The money was mine. And so that's the way maybe God looks at it. You know, we might look around and we want to keep our friends forever. We want to keep our family members forever. But ultimately, God is in control. And the best thing that I can tell you is, if you look at that situation, is yes, you're exposed to a lot of, you know, things that might be unsafe. Remember the last time we were here and we put on all the safety gear that's here to protect you? Sometimes, in spite of everything that we might do, things happen that we can't foresee. But I want you to know that God is in control, and the best thing to do is to be ready, okay? Just be prepared for the end. And it's untimely that I have to talk about this, but I just felt it on my heart to mention that. Your families will talk to you about these situations, and sometimes we might get uncomfortable, but it's part of humans to face the end. I want you to stand up and say something. It's kind of based on a Bible verse that God is in control of our lives and He's ordering it. I want you to say, God is ordering my steps. Thank you. God bless all of you.
Thank you, Brother Sam. Very timely. We always hope not to have to talk about that. We're small children, but it's very timely with everything that's going on. So we appreciate each and every one being here today, and I do want you to remember the family of Sister Charlsie, as you heard Brother Sam say. If you did not hear Sister Charlsie Walkoff, one of our oldest member now, she didn't get to be that, but about 3 months since Sister Theta passed away, and she passed away this week, and we just want to be prayerful for her family. I think her funeral is Tuesday. I think it's when it is, and we need to remember them. I think the funeral visitation is over at Jennings and Ayers. Funeral home, just remember them in your prayers, if you would. Does anybody else have a prayer request on your heart before we go any further? Brother? Yes, ma'am. Let's do remember this. Somebody else? it was mentioned during Sunday school that we need to get the revival on our hearts. And I agree wholeheartedly. I done had that cross my mind also that we need to be talking more about it. Have you already been praying for Brother James? I hope you have. Brother James King will be helping us in revival. And he's going to need some liberty to preach. Now, I believe he can preach just from what we saw last year. But if it doesn't come from God, it's not going to be worth anything. So, y'all, we need to pray for him. So let's pray for him. Let's pray for our lost ones. We've still got several that are scattered around in this church building. Let's pray that the Lord will make a way that they come and be in our house during this meeting. That'll be in July, of course, but we want to be prayerful for that revival meeting, that it'll be just exactly what God would have it to be. And that maybe we can see a bunch more saved. That would be truly wonderful, wouldn't it? So let's keep that in our minds today. Anybody else have anything on your heart? We appreciate each and every one being here today. We just want to pray. And I hope you'll pray today. Whether you pray out loud or pray quietly, just pray. You've heard these things that we need to pray for, but let's just pray is what I want us to do. Anybody, any other prayer requests before we go on? Brother Tom, would you start our prayer, please?
Let's sing number 198, number 198. Won't we be happy? Amen. Won't that be happy? Number 232. Number 232. Choir, if you will, please stand on this. Y'all stand, please. Takes me back to childhood. What a great joy. What a great memory. Come on, let's sing. Congregation, I've been requested to sing a solo this morning that folks saw on television. I'll do my best. You pray for me. This will be the last verse. Here we go. Oh. I don't do this without being asked, but if you want to follow along, number 234, sing this song for the first time with our quartet many, many years ago, and I was asked to sing it on television the other night when Briley was here. It's going to be nice to get over on the other side. We don't know. Bible tells us this song is scriptural all the way. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard.
Good singing, Brother Keith. Good playing, Sister Shirley. Appreciate them both and how they help us out in church. And all of you, as you help us out in church also. Does anybody have a word on your heart this morning? Anything at all? It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Let's remember all the prayer requests that you heard about today. The ones in your pamphlets, most of them were ones that was mentioned at, before. And we just need to remember all of these. Another one that I didn't mention that's on there, a dear friend of ours lost her husband last night or early this morning, and just asked y'all to pray for them also. So keep that on your heart also. Today is our business meeting. We usually have it last week, but because of Mother's Day, we postpone it a week due to that. So we will, after our services closes out, we'll return back in here and we'll have our business meeting after that. Anybody got anything on your heart before we go any further? If not, Brother Key's been preaching about heaven, or singing about heaven, and about the joys and the goodness of heaven. I'm not going to get to do that. I wished I could, to be honest with you. This is not a bad subject, not like some of them are sometimes, but it's needful that we reinforce our doctrines that we have in our church. Years ago, I had a young man who had just told he was called to preach. He was in a different faith than ours, but he knew about being saved, and from what he said, I believe he was actually called to preach. But I went to get him to do a job for me and talked to him about it, and he started talking about preaching, and he went on to say that there was, I'm not one of these preachers that's going to be preaching doctrine. He don't preach this Bible, he won't preach doctrine. If you preach the Bible, you're going to preach doctrine. That's what it is. And I think he came to understand that a lot better as time went on. I think what he had in mind was church doctrine as far as things that churches believe and the differences from one denomination to the other. This is not one of them. This one is not one that is different from any of the other church buildings that has a congregation meeting in them today. Or at least it shouldn't be. Many times we as ordained preachers and deacons, we go to what we call an ordination. And the brother that is going to be ordained either to a preacher or a full work of ministry as a pastor or something like that, or maybe it's deacons, but we have a portion of it that in which that we do basically an inquiry is what we call it. And over the past several years, I've noticed that preachers have backed away from that a little bit. They don't talk about all the different doctrines. But what I've said all along, this is the great opportunity for the people that are visiting to hear what we believe. Yeah, they should have done examined the men that's going to be ordained, but it's an opportunity for everybody sitting in the congregation to know what we believe. And they may not, there'll be people there a lot of times that do not believe like we do. So it's important for them to hear what we believe. It's also good for you to hear. I'm talking about us as church members. We need to have it reinforced, is what we need to do. This one today is one that I think most everybody here is, but our children get bombarded with the other side of it. You're going to see it here in just a few minutes as I read. Turn to the 139th chapter of the book of Psalms, the 139th chapter of the book of Psalms. I'm going to start by asking this question before I read. According to science, where did you come from? According to science, they tell you you came from a monkey. I disagree with them. The Bible wholeheartedly disagrees with them about us coming from monkeys. One of the first questions that should be asked during an ordination is, do you believe in the creation of as the Bible gives it, or do you believe in evolution? Believe it or not, we have church members in our churches today that actually believes in evolution in some form or fashion, is what they will believe. If you do, okay. But I'm going to give you some scriptures here today as far as letting you understand some parts of this today to help you get to a place where you'll put more, even more faith in God. And you might say, wait a minute, huh? Even more faith in God? How can I have even more faith in God? The more you get to know how God is and who He is, the more you will realize just how good He is and how strong He is, how much He is one that gives you understanding in your life. So as we think about this today, I don't want you to second guess who God is. He is the Creator. In the 139th chapter of the book of Psalms, it says in the 12th verse, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. Excuse me. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. In other words, we look out there and we see real well. If it was dark outside, we couldn't see very far, could we? But with God, it doesn't matter. For He said, for thou possessest my reins, that's the inside parts. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. He said, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. And substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. That's our reading lesson, verses 12 through 15 today of our reading lesson. I do not intend for this message to be a political message. I realize today this is one of the subjects that people likes to jump on politically, whether it's free or not, or freedom or not. But the fact of the matter is, what we want to talk about is where you came from. Our thought today is that you were, the words were in verse 14, fearfully and wonderfully made. I want you to understand today, in a lot of the problems that we hear of today among our young people, they think of themselves as just being another animal. They think of themselves much like a dog, even a cat. A lot of people think the other way around, that dogs and cats are human. That's fine if you want to do that. But a lot of people also wants to think that we, as human beings, we are nothing more than an animal. I want you to understand something today. You are not an animal. You are a created being that God has put a soul in, and that soul gives you a distinction today that is above all other parts of the creation. I realize there are individuals out there that likes to talk about creation or individuals and even animals having a soul. They don't understand what it is to have an inward being about them. They don't understand the fact that that inward being was placed there by God. And what we're going to look at today is how that God worked, how that He made you like you are. I want you to understand today, God is the architect. He is the one that made a way for you to be in this world. Some of us don't exactly like the fat way that we turned out, but it is God's way. I looked at a boy the other day, and he's in the eighth grade, I think they said, and I looked up at him, and I said, I just wanted to get to 6 foot. I couldn't get there. I got to 6 foot at least. But the idea is, this is the way that God made me. I want you to understand today, it is God that puts the child in the womb. I want you to notice a few things about these verses. And the main reason why I brought out the 12th verse here in our reading lesson, there is no secret place with God. He knows all. He hears all. He knows everything. He is in that possession of that. And when that a child is conceived, he's there. Yes, he is there. And when that he brings that child to life, it is brought forth in a wonderful way. We understand today, he says, God possesses the reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Now, you might say, well, what is he talking about? We're talking about the conception of life and how that God works that conception. Listen, he said, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. He says, then my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. You should remember that first verse we read when he said, they are all alike. God sees your inward parts. He sees what is inside of you. He sees that action of a child being made. He is the one that processes it and puts it all together. You want to see the verse that says that? It says here, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Now that curiously wrought, that's a word that we don't use. We usually say worked. But the original Hebrew word that was used there in that place was a word like needlepoint in plaiting and putting together. You see, what God is doing when that we came to be in this world was that he put us together. He just done it in a beautiful way. If you go back and you look at the human body, and I think we've got some medical ones here, medical people here today, and you've had the ability to see the imagery in the medical field. We've all seen x-rays at least once probably, and we don't see the bones that are here. We don't necessarily see the veins that we have. We don't necessarily even see the muscles of our bodies, but they were put together in a way that God wove them together to where that we could function in this life. Yes, he says here, thine eyes were not hid from my substance. At the very beginning, we see a substance is what they tell us. I never realized it, but probably medical people did not understand it in the early days of the world. But the fact of the matter, God showed David that there was a substance. And that substance came together, and it came together in such a way as what he says here. He said, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. Uh-oh, unperfect. Usually when we think unperfect, well, there's a flaw in it. We would think, well, that means maybe there's not a hand or a foot or a leg or something like that. That's not what he was talking about. The word unperfect there means unfinished. You see, God was working in that moment in which that it was in the darkness, in the secret place, if you want to say. The way that God puts it all together, he just does it, and we can't truly understand it. Even the medical people, they may have an idea of what goes on, but they do not understand it. They just want to say, well, it just happened to be that way. That's not true. You see, God did it himself. God formed you. You see, one of the back thoughts that came into my mind when I was looking at this verse where it said that we were fearfully and wonderfully made, it's one of the greatest things that comes to people's minds when they start considering killing themselves, suicide. Well, I'm nothing in this world. No, you're something. A lot of people wants to say, well, you're something that you're not exactly right. Your hair is not the right color. Well, mine's not the right color. Well, it is, too. It's what God made. Right? The idea is what I'm trying to tell you, God made you that way for a reason. I heard a man talking not too long ago, and the man, he had a lame leg, and he wanted to be healed of that. He wanted it to be something better. But the man that was talking to him, he said, think how God can use you even with that lame leg. You see, God takes our inferiorities that we have in our minds and he uses that. Think about Moses. Oh yeah, Moses. Moses was a great man of God, right? Done everything right. No, he didn't do everything right. Probably had a very good physique problem. I don't know if he did or not. But do you know he had what we would sometimes call a speech impediment? That's what we call it today. He stuttered, is what he said he did. And he said, Lord, I'm so slow of speech. I can't speak. That was one of my excuses when the Lord laid his hand on me. He said, I said, Lord, I can't get up before people. I can't even do a book report in school hardly. Lord, I just don't know if I could ever do that in front of people. Now look at me now. See, God is still perfecting his creature. As long as you live your life, if you're not growing, I'm not talking about out like I am. If you're not growing, you're not living. We grow in our minds. We grow in our wisdom. We grow in our strength. But in that secret place, God puts it all together. And what he says here in this verse, he said, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written. Now, that book there is not a literal book. That is in God's knowledge. His wisdom. You see, he had in mind what you were going to be. He looked at you and he said, well, you're going to be a redhead. Oh, you're going to have the prettiest smile. He's going to look at you and he had in mind that your arms would be strong. Or maybe it was your legs that was so strong. Or maybe it was your back that was able to do the work of two or three men. You see, God made you for a purpose. He made you in this way. And what he says, he recorded it in Him. He recorded it down who you were and who you were going to be. He had in mind for every child that was ever conceived to be what they should be. Now, what He says here, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Okay, that's, I have trouble reading that sentence. I'm going to be honest with you, I do. If you'll notice, there's a couple words in italics, and that was words that when the interpreters of the King James Bible, they wanted to make it read easier. They did. Take those words out for just a second and just read them this way. Which in continuance were none which were contingents were fashioned when none of them. That them is in italics, excuse me. But you see, what I'm trying to say is He wants us to continue to grow. He wants us to continue to be the human beings that He intended for us to be. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. What did God truly intend for man to be when that He was made? He was to be a creature that would be one like Him. Is that not what the Scripture tells us in the third chapter of John? He said in the third, or excuse me, the second chapter of first chapter of Genesis, let us make man after our own image. That's what He was telling us. He was saying to God the Father was saying to God the Son and God the Holy Ghost, let us make man after our own image. Now, if you want to take it physically, bodily, that God has a physical body like us, that's fine. I agree. I think He does. A lot of people don't want to say that. Even in theology, they don't want to say that. But the thing that I want you to understand, we are to be like God. The Bible tells us that God is holy. Be ye holy. The Bible tells us that man, when he was created, he was very good. I want you to think about something today. How many of you look at babies like this one and that one back there? You look at them and, oh, they're just perfect. Right? When they come into this world, they start dealing with the same things we deal with. But the thing about it is, it's the way that God made us, them. Not knowing right hand from the left is the way we used to put it a lot of times. Not knowing what sin really was. We look at small children and we smile and we're glad for them. But in our hearts, we know there's coming a time in which that sin will creep up on them. And they'll start to know, like Adam, what was right and what was wrong. Adam partook of a fruit that he'd been told not to. The ability to sin came upon us right then, on all of his generations, as we are. But God made us. He made that first man, and then he made that first woman. And a lot of people wants to say that that woman was something different, but I want you to know something. Ladies, she was just like you, a beautiful creature. She was one that God had formed specially for Adam. Isn't that a wonderful thought today? And they too became one, as the Scripture says in the second chapter. And he said, we became one, and they bear a child. I want you to go with me to the book of Job for just a little bit. And I want you to look at a couple more verses here as we try to wind this down, I think. In the book of Job, the 10th chapter. Now, every one of you realize today that Job, in his days, at this point, he's got sores from the top of his head down to the bottom of his feet. He's in total misery at this time. And he's just so suffering at this time. We've all seen people that have suffered, whether it's heart attack or cancer or something like that. Maybe it's some other disease that's going on. And we see them suffering with that, and they're in such pain. And I've heard different ones of them say, well, I wish the Lord had just let me go on. And basically, Job was at that same point at this time. But I want you to notice a couple of verses here that even in the fact that he knew that he was in such pain and agony and sorrow at this time, he had a little bit of a statement to make. Eighth verse says, thy hands have made me and fashioned me together round about. God made me to have this look. Aren't you glad you don't? But listen to him. He says in that last part of that verse, yet thou dost destroy me. Oh, what do you mean? God, you've allowed me to get sick. You've allowed me to be in pain, in agony. Brother Sam taught the children today about how that we are gods. Sin has brought on all of these sicknesses. Sin has brought on all of these sorrows and pains of our lives. Sin has brought on so much in our lives, and yet we will still try to question God. Ninth verse. Remember, I beseech thee, that thou hast made me as the clay, and wilt thou bring me into dust again? That's a question mark. Many times, we as individuals, we look at our lives and we say, Lord, why are we suffering like this? Sometimes we stump our toes and we go, Lord, why'd you allow me to do that? It wasn't God's fault. Then he says, hast thou not poured me out as milk and curdled me like cheese? And that's what he means is formed you. He's molded you into what you are today. All right, no show of hands, but I'm going to pick on somebody right here. There's a lady sitting in here that I've heard many people say, I don't know how she does it. You got in mind who it is? I'm not going to mention her name. But God molded her for that purpose. God molded you for that purpose. I've said it many times over my ministry. Every church that I pastored got me ready for the next church. And when each one went through different things, it caused me to know how to do here. It showed me how to live. It showed me how that I needed to work with you and help you. And it just molded me is what he did. God did that. Then he said, thou hast clothed me with skin and flesh and hast fenced me with the bones and sinews. Sinews is your organs on the inside is what that's what they called them back then. You see, each one of those pieces that God put in you are there for a purpose. Every single one of them. Some of them outlive their purpose and they go on. Some of them, they stay all the way as long as your life. Some of them you can't do without at all. But God put every one of them in there. And what holds it up? Your bones. But Job said, "Thou hast clothed me with skin and flesh and hast fenced me." What does a fence do? It holds up. "Thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation hath preserved my spirit." I'm going to give you three more verses, and I'm going to read through them. I don't think I'll comment through them, but I hope you'll get this. It's basically another repeat of some of the things, but I want you to know it's not just these two places. Go to the 8th chapter of the book of Psalms. There's more verses in the Bible that talks about God creating us, making us wonderfully made, God putting us together in a certain way, and God knowing us even before our birth. But in the 8th chapter, and I'll start with verse 3, "When I consider the heavens and the works of thy fingers, the moons and the stars, which thou hast ordained." We all believe that this world was created by God. The stars in the sky, the sun was put in its place. All of these things were done by God. "When I consider the heavens and thy works of thy finger, the moon and the stars, which thou..." Now, I read that again. "What is man that thou art mindful of him," he said, "and the son of man that thou visitest him?" When I consider how great God is, why does he pay me any attention? I don't deserve it. But he is mindful. Let me read one more verse and I'll quit. "Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things under his feet." You see, God had a purpose. It doesn't matter, and I hope the kids got just a little bit out of this. I probably got beyond them and wore their attention out. But the idea is, kids, I want you to know, God made you. He made you that perfect little girl, that perfect little boy. He made you just like you are, and that was a wonderful thing. If you don't believe me, ask your mama. Ask your mama. Yes, you are wonderful. That's the way God made you. Brother Keith, that's going to be my message today. I pray that this gets to our hearts today. I want us to always know that the altar is always open. I know this message wasn't about people being saved and such as that,
play,
but it shows
it.
The power of God.
Play down.
I hope and pray that we'll
intro.
All follow God in our service today.
Please stand, number 3.